You're listening to the weekend edition of Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. We're currently spending our weekends together covering the book of James. This will be a great study on practical Christian living. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to worship with us, we have service times and directions available on our church's website at calvarychapelkc.com. You can also call the church office at 913-681-1635. Now, let's join Pastor Jim in today's study.
Now, back to the main point. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. What did he start out saying? All that Jesus began both to do and to teach, that was the beginning. Now he's going to go on and start talking about what has happened subsequently. Since he's been resurrected, since he went to the Father, since he sought that the Spirit would be sent to us, then what has happened? And I believe this gets repeated over and over and over again as we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and we let his Spirit move in and through our lives. We start seeing acts just keep happening over and over and over again. That's why Acts, to understand the book of Acts and to really embrace it and to see it's the Holy Spirit leading the church. Jesus Christ is the head. There's no confusion about that at all. But the Holy Spirit is giving guidance and direction, leading the church. What did Paul say? Oh, man, we were trying to head over, get towards you guys. But, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, of course. I'm trying to get over there and hook up with you. But the Holy Spirit forbade us. And then, lo and behold, I was over and I had this vision. I was kicking back and I had this vision. And all of this, and next thing I knew, I saw this guy from Macedonia just calling out to us, you know, saying, hey, we need some help over here, you know. And so immediately we sought to come out after. You see, the Holy Spirit was leading. There are some places, they went through all kinds of places. And some places, we got all this recording of what happened. Other places, not much went on. It just wasn't happening, you know. It's like you and I. Sometimes you talk with somebody and they just go, man, I've been praying for somebody to come across my path that could explain truth to me. I want to receive Jesus Christ. You just go, wow. You know, who knows how many seeds have been thrown out? Who knows? But you just happen to be there at the right time when God got to let you be a part of the harvest. A lot of times we're throwing out seeds. We're just throwing seeds, you know. We just wait and see what happens. Just keep tossing the seed out. But because I don't see what's happened doesn't mean I stop throwing out the seed. Right? Because what does the Bible say? That his word goes out and it doesn't return back void. It accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. We've got that on our tapes and our CDs. I think it's a very important thing. You know, I know a lot of people do, and I think it's a real important thing to remember. It goes out. It accomplishes its purposes. And we need to know that in our hearts. Be confident in that. As we go on, as far as that redemption goes anyway, it's a finished work. It's done. But he does have things for us to do. There's no doubt about it. And it's to spread the gospel, that ongoing work of his Holy Spirit through his body here on this earth. Remember, we talked about Jesus said all authority had been given to him in heaven and earth. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we do have something to do, right? We're not bumps on pickles, you know? We got something to do. God's given us something to do. We got stuff to do. And I think sometimes we just forget. You know, well, I got saved. And that's it. No way. You got something to do. God's doing a work in you, right? He's doing something in us. He's always shaping and molding. And sometimes it's, you know, but, you know, he's shaping and molding us. And he's doing something in our lives. And as he's doing something in us, he's also moving through us and using our lives as a vessel. He has chosen this pattern. Scripturally, it's clear for it. He's chosen to use vessels, humans. He's chosen for us to be his body, the representation of Jesus Christ. This is why I said, hey, man, don't be respecters of persons. Walk in faith. Reveal that faith by your life. Show it. Let faith be real. In other words, I think that's really significant for us. You know, to be real, I think oftentimes, you know, that term's kind of been chewed up, spit out, and smashed, and, you know, been used a lot, you know, that idea of being real. But it is a significant term in our Christian experience, because I think a lot of times we want to report to people how we really want to be seen. It's just our tendency. It's just something in there in us that just wants to report things the way we want to be seen. I love the Word of God because it's just, bing, the mirror goes up and it's like, ah, there you really are. No, that's really what you look like. Yep, yep, you know. And that's who we really are. The Word of God shows me who I really am, but then it also shows me who I am in the light of Jesus Christ, washed and cleansed, white as snow. Isn't that awesome? You know, so we got so much to be thankful for of what he's done for us. He reveals, reminds us who we are, and then he also reminds us of who we are in him, who we are apart from him, and who we are in him, how desperately we need him. We can't be off on our own. We desperately need him every day, every moment of every day, and our dependency is to be on him. Well, if I really believe that, that's going to produce something in my life. That's going to be something that's being real. A lot of people want to report. And this is why when I share with people, you know, a lot of times, man, don't tell me about all the, just show me, man. Just reveal it to me. Let me see Jesus in your life. That's what I need to know about. You know, I need to see, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ active in your life as a Christian, as a believer. You know, and that's what I love about the body. Again, brothers and sisters, that's why we have the coffee area, you know, the fellowship area there, the coffee tables in here, you know, the sanctuary set up like it is, monitors around, so people can feel connected. And so that you can sit somewhere and talk with somebody and enjoy ministry. See, this is a part of the ministry. As we gather and we open our Bibles together as if we're sitting in our own living room and we just talk about the scriptures openly. That's my heart. But I also want people, because I know, man, when there's something that happens, when we're face-to-face with other believers, and we're just talking, we're saying, yeah, you know, Jesus did this in my life. They're going, yeah, that's awesome. I needed to hear that. Because I'm going through this, and I need to know that. And that's power. That, see, I'm not confused. I'm not deceived. That is as much a part of this ministry as this. That is important to me. That's why those areas exist, and that's why we want to continue to develop ministry that way. That's something that's happening. Your interaction with one another is not insignificant, or our interaction together. It's important. It makes a difference. It changes our lives because it's Jesus Christ being mirrored and revealed one to another. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that encouraging to see that? So as we look at this, that's faith at work. That's believing and walking in it. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Just saying, hey, it's revealed by who I am. You see? It's revealed by who I am. Not just simple words, but the truth of who we really are. Who Jesus Christ is within you. That's what it's all about. But you believe that there is one God. It says, hey, man, believing in God, how many people tell us, well, you know, I believe in God. Oh, man, if I had a dime for every time I've shared the gospel with somebody, and they say, well, you know, I believe in God, and I try and live by the Ten Commandments. And I'm, oh, you're kidding me. You know, you can't make it. You can't do it. You can't live by them. It's an automatic F. You will fail. It's guaranteed. You can't live by them. Because if you could live by them, then Jesus Christ came to the earth and died in vain. It's a loser. Can't live by him. You believe in God? Well, what God? When people tell everybody, well, I just want to thank God for this award that I've gotten, you know, it's like, what God? Who do you believe in? What God? There's gods of all kinds of things. You know, what God are you talking about? Who are you talking about? It's so important that that's clear and that it's only represented by the one true living God. He says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Ooh, wow, let's get named amongst with them. I don't think so. I don't want to be named amongst with them. Do you? You know? He's saying just a profession of, well, I believe, because all you're doing is acknowledging that there is a God. That's not enough. The demons acknowledge the existence of God and tremble. But they're not saved. It's got to be the next step. Not just acknowledging that there is a God, but believing in him personally for salvation. See, that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where the transformation, and that is going to produce a work in and through our lives. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? By the works, faith was made perfect. That it was revealed and it was perfected in that sense, completed. It was made complete by following it through. Isn't there an element then, let's carry this out just a little bit further for conversation's sake. Isn't it true then that my profession of something needs to have some kind of balance in my life? You know, in other words, if I'm professing this, I need to be able to reveal this. You know, that it's or else where's the hope? Now, I can't show you perfection, and you can't show me perfection. That's not being real. But how many people are waiting to be perfect before they get involved? How many people are waiting to be perfect before they talk to somebody about the gospel? How many? It will not happen. But you can be real. And you can say, you know, I'm really going through the fire, man. This is what's happening. But you know what? I've got hope and I've got help. I got Jesus Christ and everlasting life and the hope that he is always working all things for good for my life. I've got hope and I've got help. That he will never leave me nor forsake me. That he is my strength. He's my stronghold. He's my shelter. He's my rock, my fortress. He covers my, he's my front guard, my rear guard, my side guards. You see, he takes care of us. He covers us. And you start saying, man, that's something I can identify with. I need that kind of help. I need that kind of hope. You see, people, you can't show them. If you're trying to model for people the perfect Christian, forget it. You've missed it. Die to yourself. That's what the Bible calls for us to do. Die to ourselves and what? Be real. Mirror the reality of who Jesus is. I miss it sometimes. I miss the mark sometimes. Man, and it bums me out. Doesn't it bum you out when you just know that, I just missed it, you know? And it bums you out. You get disgusted with yourself. Then you remember, oh, man, it just proves out the reality of the truth of the Word of God, you know, how dependent I am upon Him and His grace and His mercy. And that's encouraging, isn't it? We need Him. We need Him every day. I'm so encouraged by that, so blessed by that. Man, we want to reveal it. Abraham, what it was, again, is the reality of following through. There was an element of what? Obedience and follow through. He knew what he needed to do, and he followed it through, and he did it. Because he believed in God, that God was going to do the work. He didn't know how it was going to all happen. Do you know how it's all going to come out? I don't either, but it's going to work out. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, he was told long ago that through his seed, through Isaac, you know, through that gift that he'd gotten, that child of promise, he was told that long ago, that through that, there would be a nation of people as the sand is of the seashore and of the stars in the sky. And in other words, it's an innumerable amount would come through that. That was the promise. And so he believed God for that. Now he gets to this point and it's like, well, God's given me this. And he said that through this, this was going to happen. How is it all going to work out? Who would have thought I'd have kids at 100 years old? Who would have thought Sarah, her womb's dead? Who would have thought that she'd have kids? Oh, well, you know, God did. And so what? He just walked in it. He's been walking into it. Can you imagine the combination of things that must have been going on in his heart and his mind? Man, here's this gift that God's given me. In this child, couldn't love him anymore, man. And now I'm here, I'm in this spot where God says, take him up to the hill. You know, it was all representative of Jesus Christ, Mount Moriah, and, you know, the whole thing of Golgotha there at the place of the skull, which is where Abraham took Isaac, and then it's there that then the ram was appeared in the thicket, you know, just prior to him, you know, taking the, because he believed, hey, whatever, if this God's talking, told me to do it, I'm just going to do it by faith. How's it all going to work out? I don't know. All I know is he promised me that faith was at work, and then what happened? Jehovah Jireh. What was in the thicket there? A ram. God will provide himself a sacrifice, and that was representative of the person of Jesus Christ in typology, as you're looking at things in types in the scripture. Abraham being a type of the Father, Isaac being the type of the Son, Jesus Christ, you see, and God providing that sacrifice for us, the fulfillment. Isn't that awesome? That's so great. So the faith was acknowledged and it was accounted to him as righteousness because he believed God. He trusted him. You see then that man is justified by works and not by faith only. And all he's talking about is that the works revealed the faith. The works didn't save. You see what I'm saying? It was just a representative of what was already in the heart. You see, you and I do good works. Those good works don't save us, but they reveal who God is within us. You see? And understanding that is so significant. It's liberating, isn't it? Because it's like, man, I can do all this great stuff, and I, you know, it just doesn't, it, nothing's tied to it. It's just out of the heart of God. And he's just flowing through our lives. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers sent and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works also is dead. And you remember the situation with Rahab. We talked about that while we were in Hebrews. You know, the situation there as Rahab had helped out the spies and helped them to escape safely when they'd come in to check out the promised land there. And they kind of got hung up for a little bit because the king was waiting to get rid of them there, kind of spying out some of the areas there around Jericho and stuff. And her life was also spared in the attack because she believed. Her faith, God honored it, you know, because she believed and her life was spared. Not only was her life spared, and I think, again, we talked about the fact that she was a harlot, you know, and, you know, what God's heart for people. I just love that. That's God's heart for people. And she was spared. And not only that, but her family also was spared. And the significance of what that can represent. One life given to Jesus Christ out of a family. And God will grab more lives, you know, because it reveals. And I've watched it in my own life. I'm sure many of you have, you know, that as you give your life to Jesus Christ, as you get committed to Jesus Christ, man, God will start. He's got the witness now. The witness is there. God starts doing a work in the circumstances. God's grace is displayed for us. You know, and again, her name is even, she's even named amongst, in the Hall of Faith, you know, there in Hebrews. You know, she's named as one of those people. All because of God's grace and mercy. Because she believed on him. She's also named in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's radical. Faith in action, believing God. A thought that they marched around the walls makes no sense to me whatsoever. None. Hey, go do that, and then, you know, on the final day, you know, blow the trumpet and, you know, shout and beep, you know, the whole walls come down. Like, well, that's quite a military tactic, God. That's interesting. You know, I mean, it makes no sense. So, but it, does it need to? Faith says we believe. Faith says we believe and we trust God with it. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's what Paul the Apostle said. Faith is revealed in these situations. See, we've been somehow got this idea that we want to show perfect Christian to everybody. And that's what's really going to turn people on to Jesus. And that's what's going to show me is the spiritual giant that I really am. Nah. Nope. I don't think so. I think some of the most radically used people that I've ever observed in my life are some people that we would all, if we really knew what went on in their lives, would just scratch our heads and just go, oh my goodness, I don't understand any of this. I mean, I look in the mirror in the morning, I don't get it, God, but that's great. If it works for you, I'm on, you know what I mean? I just don't get it, you know? But it's just God's grace. It's just God's grace that he chooses to use all of the likes of us. And isn't that exciting? Don't discount yourself because of yourself, because God's not. Don't discount you, because God's not. And trash the fake stuff. Get it in the dumpster as quick as you can. Get rid of the fake stuff, because nobody's going to buy it. Nobody's going to believe it. You know what they're going to believe is when you're transparent and you say, you know what, man? I've stumbled over that rock before. Matter of fact, it bloodied up my toe pretty good on that one. I hit the dirt so hard, I skinned my face. You know, it was a bummer. But you know what? God's faithful. He's faithful to help us to fall forward, to fail forward. Isn't that great? Fear not. You know, it's just the way I look at it. Fear not. For gripped with fear, we'll never move forward. No fear, no reverent respect for God can lead to reckless living. That's wrong theology. What is there? A balance. Fear God, but fear not. You see what I'm saying? Fear not. By faith, we trust the Lord. Faith conquers the fear in our lives. So we step out by faith, believing in God. Our fears are conquered. But I still have reverent respect for who God is and that he chooses how to use us. He's sovereign. And so it's so important, man. Maintain that servanthood mentality. We've been talking about that. We've been talking about our need, remember, to love and to, you know, display that love. Let me tell you, seriously, when people come and are either new or they've come and visited and they'll call me and talk to me, one of the first things everybody tells me is, man, you know what, bro? That is really a loving group of people, man. That's really awesome what God's doing there. Isn't that cool? Man, praise the Lord. What a wonderful statement. Everybody feels so welcome and so that it's hospitable and they feel loved, man. And I'm just so blessed by that. As a pastor, man, I just want to share that with you. It really blesses my heart because that's the representation that comes off. Maintain it, maintain it, maintain it. And the only way to maintain it is by being like Joshua said, man, stay in the Word. Stay with the Lord. It's Jesus Christ within you that's being revealed. Isn't that awesome?
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for tuning in today and listening to the message. I know that God is doing a work in your life. I know that as you hear his word, he's doing something in your heart. And he wants to begin that good work in your life, as he's done in many of our lives. And he wants to forgive you of your sin. Maybe some of you are just carrying that weight of sin and you just want to be forgiven. Well, God wants to forgive you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God loves you. He wants to forgive you of all your sin. All you have to do is pray this simple prayer of faith and begin this new journey with Jesus. Again, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you and God will forgive you. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of my sin. You know exactly where I've been and what's been going on in my life, and I want to begin a new life in you. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior, and that I would begin this new journey with you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might live a life that would please you and bring you glory. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for saving me. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Living Fountains Weekend Edition. If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart and now call Him your Savior, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at calvarychapelkc.com or through our Facebook by searching for Calvary Chapel KC and liking our page. More info about our church and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can also contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great today spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, come.